place to go.
Good morning, 6:12.
Have no place to
Happy Wednesday.
That was weird. Good morning.
What was weird about it, Mary?
We heard the intro to the intro.
Oh.
The beginning of that song. We never hear that part.
Good morning, Mark Carman.
Yeah, hey,
the
Mark.
The great Mark Carman. I haven't seen you in forever. I'm like, pretty, like, you know, a little salty about that.
Gee, just know that I've been thinking about you. I've been thinking about the show. I listen every day. I just thought that Mary was attacking me because she heard my voice.
No.
Which is clearly not the case.
You don't. Good morning. I saw you at the Walk of Fame. You were there.
I was at the Walk of Fame.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see you there.
I didn't see you there either, Gee. Where were you?
I was there. I was sitting down.
Did you have lunch?
You didn't come back for lunch.
Oh,
you straight did not come back for lunch.
I was here for lunch. No, I totally was here. I had no pasta. You don't call, you don't write. What's been going on with you?
I don't know if I believe that you were in the pasta line. I like lurked over that pasta for many hours. I had the meatballs, the pasta, the salad. Congratulations, Dondria and Marlene. And I think a guy by the name of John Williams made it in, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know, Mary, Steve, if you've seen Carm's face, but it is like it's like a baby. It's smooth like it's a baby's bum. There's no beard anymore.
Mark shaved.
Was handing out great compliments this morning before the show, and then I saw his face, and I'm like, oh no!
I knew there was something different. I just couldn't figure it out. You know how you're staring at somebody, you're like, what's different?
I'm just going to say it. I miss the beard, Mark. I miss the beard.
Well, when did Chelsea tell you you had to shave?
Well, she wasn't in on it, Steve. She was very disappointed.
So what time was it when she told you?
You did it secretively.
We had maybe had a little bit of a tiff, and I just went into the old bathroom at about 9 o'clock.
Did you not like the beard?
I didn't like it.
Okay, gosh, you're only a couple months before the wedding.
How dare you make a decision about your own face?
That's right.
Wait,
can I live the face that I want to live?
I think you're right. Hey, we got to do the top six. Are we ready? Why don't we do the top six? Let's go ahead and do the top six.
We'll get back to Get to Know Mark Carman soon.
It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
I'm looking at my left. It looks like G's drinking out of a flask at 6:15 in the morning.
You don't know what's in here.
House Democratic leaders and rank and file members are dismissing calls to impeach Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, with some arguing the House has limited investigative resources, and others saying it's a politically toxic issue. You know, I would just like the Democrats to figure out what they want to do and when they want to do it and actually do it. That's all.
That's a great idea.
Next, in a complete joke, a farce, and one of the worst congressional investigations you could see, and that's a long list, Corey Lewandowski jerked around for about 8 hours yesterday with the House investigating him. The Republicans sucked up to him and Donald Trump. The Democrats basically just went through the day calling him a liar, which he is, and nothing got done. I know this is going to shock you. That's right.
Nothing
got done in D.C.
Well, there is one argument, though, about that, Steve, if I can counter. I saw one of the legal analysts yesterday saying that what the Democrats may have been doing was putting out there the congressional obstruction, which was one of the counts against Richard Nixon, if you remember. And yesterday they say that's why they brought Lewandowski in to show the high level of congressional obstruction.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been done in the first 5 minutes, and then you put the punk in contempt of Congress, and you end it. Because he spent the entire day being a jerk. And I agree with you. The first count, the first point, the first violation of crimes and misdemeanors, point one, it's out there. And Lewandowski basically admitted that Trump asked him to lie yesterday, while he was saying Trump never asked him to lie. Just to make your head explode. Next. Tropical storm Imelda threatens to hit portions of southeastern Texas with more than a foot of rain this week, possibly leading to dangerous, life-threatening flash floods. Houston could get whacked again. Seems like just yesterday they got 58 inches of rain or 60 inches of rain or whatever that was. What was that, 3, 4, 5 years ago now?
Yeah, remember they call these things the 100-year storms, and they're happening every 5 years.
Flash flood watch has been posted across the entire Houston metro area. Next! Merriam-Webster adds general, neutral pronouns, they and themselves, to the dictionary. More than 530 new words and definitions were added to the website, ranging from politics to sports to social justice. Among the additions are they and themselves, which Merriam-Webster respectfully defines as a single person whose gender identity is non-binary. Could somebody explain that to me?
No.
Yes. Huh? I can totally explain it to you. So it's if someone doesn't identify either as female or male, they're non-binary, and so they don't want to be referred to as she or he, her or him. So you have to refer to the person by the pronouns that they prefer and they feel that describe who they are, which is they, them. Yes.
So do we have to ask him before we talk to him?
You know what? You can. Actually, it's true.
Well, it's true.
It's very polite. You can ask him. The way you can do it is by saying, hi, my name is G. My pronouns are she, her. What are yours? What do you go by? Or they can let you know.
I'm not being a jerk here.
I'm just going to say hi. How are you?
No, we live in a society where you kind of have to make decisions on how you're identified.
Well, some people are actually not exclusively masculine or exclusively feminine.
Well, I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
But there's the architecture of the society we lived in causes you to make decisions based on things until those decisions are, the lines are grayed. And you know what? I have a headache.
I'm just trying to figure out how to address.
It's pretty cool. You shouldn't have a headache about this. This is like for folks.
I have a headache about everything.
You need to Diet Coke today. I'm going to, I'm going to give you permission to have one.
I don't want a Diet Coke.
You want your chocolate milk?
No, I don't want anything.
Maybe needs oatmeal.
I just want to sit here and be cranky. Facebook revealed a torrent of changes to limit hate speech on the social network. Well, that's good. That's timing. I mean, thank God that they noticed.
Yeah.
This is a day before a hearing on Capitol Hill on how Google and Twitter handle violent content. Facebook expanded its definition of terrorist organizations and said it would use artificial intelligence to spot and block live videos of shooters. And they are attempting to do more. I don't know why a day before the congressional hearing they decided to get their act together, but they've been working on this project collectively and separately for a long time. They have no argument when it comes to First Amendment rights. They're a private organization that determines their terms of service. It's traded publicly, and they can decide tomorrow that you can't put your videos up, and they can block you, and they can do all of that. They need to figure out a way to keep hate speech and things like live shootings off their platforms. I don't know how to do it. I wouldn't begin to tell you how to do it. You know what? I don't have a clue how to do it. I know code is ones and zeros. Put a bunch of those up.
Listen.
And there is an argument, too, by the way, from a technical standpoint, that is impossible to do, that that some of it will get through, that it's just impossible to stop everything, which goes back to that argument, is Facebook too big?
That is possible, but there ought to be a way to develop an algorithm which the moment that goes up or the moment it's reported, there's a 911 to some dude at Facebook and he shuts it down.
Not exactly the same thing, but in terms of the internet, not all internets are totally free in terms of if you're thinking about China, if you're thinking about Russia, they're monitoring a lot of what is happening on the internet, and Facebook can figure it out certainly with billions of dollars and all the minds. If they can figure out how to harvest all of our personal information and sell it, they can figure this out too.
I would hope. And a Northwestern University trustee and his wife are giving how much? Anybody?
A lot.
$50 million.
Oh, I was right.
Say $1
million. Wow.
$50 million to support student financial aid. It's the largest gift in school history, specifically for that purpose. Jeff and Lori Ubin, I believe, or Ubin, will leave a portion of their estate to the Evanston Institution to fund scholarships that will be available to undergrads, graduate, and professional students. Don't know what the criteria is. I'm assuming they're folks who need the cash.
God bless Jeff and Lori.
Yeah, the Ubbins.
Yep, absolutely. You know what? Yeah. Give it to the school. Help out people that won't be paying their student loan debts for the next 25, 40, 50, 60.
Well, they'll pay them, but they won't pay them off. Is that what you mean?
I'm just saying this way. Maybe somebody can avoid them. You know what I mean? Like the financial aid, so that way they don't have to take out a loan.
Well, this is not a knock on Northwestern. My knock on private institutions in general is all the major schools have large endowments.
Huge.
What are you doing with the money?
Well, I mean,
You're charging more for tuition every year, and you're charging incredibly exorbitant fees for online education, where you don't have the overhead that you have for people that stay on campus. what are you doing with your endowments?
You know where they're going? They're going to build new sports facilities bigger dorms.
And if we had anybody in Washington who knew what they were doing or did what they should be doing, this would be a major issue, because part of the reasons the student loan debt is out of control is because of the enticement for kids and their families to go to these schools that charge too much, and then you can't afford to pay them back.
It's expensive just to go to any school, honestly. I mean, really expensive to go to an elite school, but very expensive in general.
It's interesting, though. NYU, the law school, just became free because you had a huge donor come in. Like, this could change the landscape at some point here, but it's going to be done by very wealthy
people. But here's the thing. Really rich people shouldn't have to fix the college tuition problem.
Correct.
Really rich people have enough problems. Where are you going to have dinner tonight? You know, are you going to?
Oh.
It's 6:22. We'll come back with your. We just did the top six. What are we coming back with? We'll come back with more of this nonsense in just a second.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
John DeCostas here. John, what are you doing?
No, I'm just writing notes because I can't write at home. I don't have any privacy.
So you came in super early just to do that?
Yeah, I wanted a place to write and get my
ready
thoughts
for
together.
This show next Friday.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes,
okay,
I am.
We're going to be at the Beverly Arts Center next Friday. You and I and Tim Benker. And Southside Family Feud will debut. I'm sure it'll be the hottest game
Bridget
in America.
Gaynor, Willie Winters, yes.
Yes. And what do people need to do to get tickets?
They just have to go to beverlyartscenter.com and go to the website. It also has the box office number on there. And just get tickets. Southside, hey, how could you not go? We have the White Sox. We have the White Sox now.
Mm-hmm.
You should just go because of that.
Tell me the show will be funny. We're doing stand-up comedy. It'll be a hoot.
Let me just clarify. I have not said it would be funny.
No, of course it'll be funny.
Okay.
Why else would it be funny if it's not going to be funny?
It's just stand-up. It's fun. It's, you know, us making... It'll be good, especially with the Family Feud to close it out. So how great is that?
That's Southside Family Feud, first time. Probably, maybe the only time. You don't want to miss it.
No, right.
May never happen again.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not saying there's not feuds on the Southside. You know, it depends on your house.
It's going to just be that good that it might be a one-and-done thing.
Yeah, why try to repeat it?
Yeah.
And it's magic. How do you get tickets?
Go to beverlyartscenter.com, and then also they will have the box office number on there, and you can just call that too as well. But it's Southside. It's great. It's a beautiful venue if you haven't
been. It is a beautiful venue, and it's all sponsored by our friend Bill Conforti and Cobblestone Development. And as always, it's an Iceman production.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
You want to do a fact or fiction for the staff so the audience gets an idea of what happens?
Sure.
We'll do more
that's
later.
Fine. That's absolutely fine.
Karen Cotti's coming up. We got some fact or fiction time after 7. Dean will be on later. I don't know if you guys watched the Channel 9 thing last night, but it was amusing.
Yeah, I watched it.
Did you see the whole thing?
Yeah. Well, not the whole thing. I saw it here. Yes, I did.
I just wish Annabelle Duvall had some energy.
She really needs to dial it up. You're right.
This is why people love to watch them, because they're just so relaxed. They have real chemistry.
I watched about a half hour. I was
exhausted.
But what's
funny is the most, the most honest moment is when the audience member said, "Do you guys hang out outside the show?" And they all went,
Are
you kidding me?
Yeah.
We can't wait to get away from each other.
I think Robin said that. Well, we used to hang out with each other more when we were younger, when we were started
in our
20s.
Yeah. Right. That was funny.
Uh-huh. Oh, but they were.
Well, Larry and Paul and everybody going, of course we don't hang out.
They're just charming. I love seeing those clips. Oh, my goodness. Like, I'd never seen a clip of Dean back when he started.
Oh, the clip of Dean with glasses and hair.
Yes, the mustache and the dark hair.
Oh, yeah.
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 I'm not sure that was Dean.
Oh.
He looked least like who he is than anybody else in the show. Like, you could identify Paul and Larry and Robin when they were younger. But Dean didn't look like Dean. We're going to need DNA.
That's the thing about TV, too, when you look over old clips, too. You can see, like, all your hairstyles and all the different weights that you've been over the years. Like, you can see, like, oh, that was the skinny me. That was the curvier me.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I could find the skinny me back then. give me a fact or fiction. We'll play it with the staff here.
Okay, fact or fiction. The word nerd was invented by Dr. Seuss.
Wow, that sounds like a fact to me.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like something he'd do.
It does sound like a... Doesn't that sound like a Dr. Seuss word?
Yes. Seems what does it rhyme with, no, though? It has
bird,
to rhyme with something.
Turd.
Nerd.
I'm going to say untrue, just because all of you are saying true. Yeah,
I'm going to go untrue, too.
Really?
Yeah. Fiction.
I'm on
oh,
the untrue.
Oh, fiction. I mean yeah. fiction.
I can't believe we have to go through this again.
Sorry,
untrue.
Fiction.
It's fact or fiction. It's not fact or untrue. Fiction.
It's fact.
It is a fact. It
Yay.
Is a fact. He,
wow.
he discovered it. Yes.
Well, I was just being a contrarian.
I know. That was good.
I just thought, I mean, I thought it was fact, too.
Clearly,
I just,
Mary Vandeveld and I are geniuses.
I just needed, you know, to spice it up a little.
And I'm supposed to be the contrarian. Mm-hmm. Mary, quite contrarian.
Nerd alert!
6:31. We'll come back to the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti's here, attorney at law, attorney on the radio, as in
good morning,
Sunday
Steve.
Nights. Hi, Karen, how are you?
Good.
Nice
Doing
to,
well.
Nice to see you at the a Walk of Fame situation.
Oh, that was great.
You
were
fabulous,
was
as
nice.
Always.
Thank you.
I'm giving you a chance to talk about how great I look. You want to take that time?
You look great, too. It's just living the good life, you know, living that honest, good life, lots of sleep. Lots of stress, you know. It's all right. Good.
Well, you're talking about you now.
Right.
Okay. All right. Are you on the radio Sunday?
I am, from 7 to 9.
Okay. And if people want to call you at the office, what do they do?
312-332-7800 or email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com.
All right. Well, what is this Wheaton College story? It's not a Wheaton College story. It's kids from Wheaton College. Who are they suing? What are they doing?
Well, they're suing the city of Chicago because they like to go out and proselytize and hand out leaflets and preach, you know, whatever they're preaching. And there are some rules in the city, and there's some rules for the park and all the parks in Chicago, and in particular the Bean. And there's some rules that say that you can't get within a certain number of feet of the Bean, and that if you're going to be out there soliciting or doing anything, you have to be in a certain area. And the students are suing, saying that this violates their First Amendment right to free speech. A very interesting lawsuit, and it's going to challenge what the city's laws are and where and when and how you can regulate where people can be to solicit.
Well, I mean, the goal is to not have innocent tourists be bombarded by people and harassed by people who they don't necessarily need to hear from, and they're not being told you can't protest. They're just saying this is protest park. This is the area where you need to go. So is that a winnable case?
It's a tough decision, and it's a slippery slope because the courts have been very strong with their advocacy of the First Amendment. I mean, they say basically public parks are where people talk. People historically have gotten up on soapboxes and done these types of things. So if you're going to regulate it, it has to be done in a way that only is just narrowly crafted just to protect the people in the park. So to certainly traffic issues, people getting in and out of attractions, people who are walking, you know, you don't want to have them blocked. And if they want to play in a park, you can't put people in the middle of something so they can't play. And it also has to be neutral, content neutral. So if you let the Girl Scouts sell cookies there, but you don't let homeless panhandle, that's content discrimination, interestingly. So you have to let everybody do their solicitation without regard for whether you like the message or not. Here, I think that the rules are pretty good. I mean, I think that they tell you, yes, you can do your thing. You know, I don't care what you're saying. If you're preaching to Hindus, you're preaching to Christians, it doesn't matter. You can all have to get a permit, and you all have to go in a certain area. And I don't think it's too restrictive because, as you know, that park is crowded, and you're right, Steve, tourists don't want to be bombarded with all kinds of people passing out stuff, and it ruins the enjoyment of the park.
And doesn't the city do what other big cities do? Because, yeah, I mean, the city can make a safety argument here as well. You know, if you're allowed to protest anywhere and you know, you drift into traffic or you hassle people who are just trying to enjoy the park, you know, maybe something starts that doesn't need to start. There's altercations or things of that nature. I don't know this particular area of the park. Is it in a place where people can't be seen when they're making their protests?
Yeah, I don't really know exactly where the designated spot is in relation to the bean. My guess is that these people want to be like right front and center in the middle of the whole thing to get as much attention as possible. As you know, when people go out and do those things, that's what they want to do. The laws, you know, the Supreme Court, whether it's on the conservative side or the liberal side, have been very supportive of the First Amendment. So this has to be just narrowly crafted, like I said, just to avoid, like you said, danger. But if it's potential danger, people screaming and yelling and the content is something that's offensive, that's not something that the government should regulate or could regulate under the First Amendment. So, like I said, it's really just a matter of logistics and safety, physical safety for the people who are enjoying the park.
This is a good opportunity for you to educate people on lawsuits. There needs to be an ability to show damage to have a lawsuit be successful, right?
That's right. That's right. The example that I usually give is, you know, we all had this happen to us. We're driving down the road and someone swerves in front of us and we literally like miss like dying by 2 seconds, right? Well, did the person do something wrong? Was that negligence? Yes, it was negligence. Was it dangerous? Yes. But you had no damages. You didn't crash. You didn't have physical injury. And just being afraid for your life is not enough to bring a lawsuit or even to have a lawsuit. So, unfortunately, in order to bring a lawsuit, you've got to be hurt in some way.
And to sue your employer for firing you, there's got to be a very specific discrimination thing going on?
That's true, too. Most states are at will, which means, as in Illinois, which means you can be fired for any reason or no reason or a false reason. The only reason that you can't be fired would be a discriminatory reason like race, age, sex, gender, sexual identity, pregnancy, military service, something like that. It has to fall into a category of you were fired for a reason that was inappropriate rather than just a generic reason that is either true or false, actually.
I think part of the reason people get confused is because some of these idiotic lawsuits that make the news end up being people who settle just to make the annoyance go away. Is that true?
It is, and sometimes the media gets it wrong. Sometimes the media likes the headline. So, woman sues over, you know, and really maybe there's something else to it that is not put into the story. But you're right. It is very expensive. A federal lawsuit, they say nuisance value now for a federal lawsuit is about $150,000, which means if there is a discriminatory lawsuit, that is what it takes to defend it. So that's what some employers will pay just to get rid of it so they can move on and not have the expense of an ongoing litigation.
That's interesting. So that's the bar, and the bar would obviously be known by both sides.
That's correct. That's correct. On the other hand, I just want to say this in behalf of lawyers, and I don't do this kind of work, but you know, lawyers generally don't take cases that are ridiculous. I mean, there are lawyers who do it, and you'll see them do it. They might just want to do it to make a name for themselves, and you will see that for the rest of our lives. But for the most part, why would you file a lawsuit, spend what would amount to tens of thousands of dollars of your time and expenses and experts and filing fees when you have a case that has no damages and no potential of winning? So even if there's a nuisance value, there are employers and insurance companies will say, you know what, we're going to take you to trial. And I might spend, you know, half of my working month working on a trial that I'm going to make no money on. So most lawyers will, you know, sift those out.
I had a friend who tried to sue for ageism discrimination with her job, and it was really difficult for her to make a case. What do you tell people that feel that they're suffering some type of discrimination at work? Is documentation key? Like, how do they prove that this is happening to them?
That's a good question, because no one ever says to you at the workplace, wow, you're old, I'm firing you. Never going to happen. So you have to have circumstantial evidence. So what you do is you look and you say, all right, I'm 50. I'm being terminated or being treated differently. And look at all these other 50-year-olds who are also being terminated or treated differently. And guess who they're replacing those people with? You're right, 25-year-olds. So it's discriminatory by virtue of circumstantial evidence. Sometimes people do make comments, you know, grandma, get over here, you know, you got to move faster. But you take it as a totality, and you look at statistics and you look at their hiring practices. But it's very difficult. And I tell people, before you engage with a lawyer and start doing this kind of stuff, you know, try to work it out in the workplace. Try to start looking for a job. Make sure your personnel file is in place, because if you sue, you still are out of a job. And in some industries, people know that you brought the lawsuit, which is a big strike against you.
And don't assume that the judge and the court system are going to be sympathetic to your cause, because you know whatever pain you're under, and I'm not minimizing that, but you have to sell your case and do your work to prove your damages and prove your hurt to make it viable. And sometimes I think people forget that.
Well, right. And it, again, you have to prove, and you know, you've got a burden of proof, and you got to prove to 12 people in a jury who you don't know. And listen, this keeps the issue in your, you know, in your life. You know, it can take 2 or 3 years to resolve these cases. And meanwhile, you'd like to move on, right? Most people just want to go to work, make some money, and support their families. And this really can drag you down. And again, these things are hard to prove. It's very hard to prove that the only reason that they, or one of the only reasons that they fired you, is because of your age or your gender or the like, unless you have very blatant evidence in writing where people are saying things, which they generally don't do these days.
John DeCoste.
Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm going to listen to her light up when John's over there.
No, I do. Well, he's over 40, so I have to treat him with kid gloves.
There, well, and that's why I'm glad you brought that up, because we had a videographer this morning tape both Steve and myself when he told me that he was letting me go because I was older than him.
Mm-hmm. And take it like a man.
Can I sue?
Can we talk?
Yeah.
One more from Jim on the phone. Jim's on the Northwest side. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning. With the new drug laws that are going to be taking effect in January, I'm curious about if your company has a zero tolerance, and let's say you're working in somebody's house, and it's like a Pink Floyd concert in there, you still might end up with a minor trace. Do you have any recourse not going into the
poppy,
house?
Or a poppy seed bagel.
Yeah. I suppose that's always a possibility that you could somehow test positive for drugs. But I think what we need to look at is, yes, we're going to have recreational marijuana legalized, but you can still, as an employer, have no tolerance at the workplace, and there's good reason for some of it. Some of these big companies do business with the federal government, and if they do in the federal government, the federal law is still that marijuana is illegal, right? So if they have contracts with the federal government, which a lot of companies do, they can still say, we have to have a drug-free workplace. And if people test positive, they can still be fired, even though in Illinois it's legal. So that's complicated. And I think that everybody who uses marijuana or tends to use marijuana needs to know exactly what the rules are in the workplace, because don't think that you are protected by the law just because it's legal. Doesn't mean that, you know, your employer can say no tolerance. Like in my workplace, I don't drug test, but I would say I don't want people using drugs in my workplace. I mean, you know, we're lawyers and we are bound by federal law and state law, and I have to be...
It seems like a fair request. It seems like a fair request that you don't come to work and weed up while I'm paying you to do a job.
Well, and we're talking about smoking on the job versus testing positive. I suppose those are two separate things.
Okay. I was saying, like, the testing positive thing, especially if, what if the worker's visiting Colorado or on a trip and then coming back?
You know a test is coming and you risk that,
but it takes
it's
months.
Your fault.
It takes months, though.
You know, if you have a test coming up, then don't do it.
And the other thing that I have to add to it is, if you have a license for medical marijuana, that is an exception, because that could be deemed to be in a disability situation, and that might have to be accommodated by the employer. So if you're one of these people who has that for medical reasons, you should tell your employer that you have that license and that you're using marijuana for medical purposes and that you want an accommodation, and those are the words you should use.
And look, I learned the hard way. I mean, you know, my illegal Lipitor dealership that I had set up has been shut down. So, 655, Karen, again, your phone number is?
612-332-7800 and WGN at AskKarenConti.com.
So, Sunday night at 7?
That's right.
Thank you.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Hey, I got a math problem for you. Who wants to do math? Raise your hand if you love to do math at this hour.
Not
oh,
me.
Steve, that's terrific. Bill Gates gave away $35 billion this year, but according to CNBC, his personal
okay,
net
slow
worth...
Slow down.
$35
billion. Okay.
With a B. His personal net worth hasn't dropped a dime. Why?
Is it interest?
I'm interested.
Is it... He's so rich? Like, when you're that rich...
60% of his assets are invested in equities, and the $35 billion that he's given away was given away through a separate foundation established specifically to give away the money, which makes it not a part of his personal wealth.
I guess the investments are so good. I mean, when you have billions of dollars, do the dollars just go in the bank and, like, have more babies of dollars?
Yes. Yeah, the money has sex and makes more money.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Jeff Bezos is the world's richest man who 20 years ago, that's probably fair, 22, 23 years ago, was doing Amazon out of his garage. He's worth $106 billion.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty good. $106 billion.
Remember, it started with books. Didn't it start with books?
It did start with books.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's remember. Right.
And as we learned this week, he's so rich that he can't afford health care coverage for part-time workers at Whole Foods.
Is that true? I didn't know.
Yeah, they're canceling health care coverage for part-time workers at Whole Foods.
Listen, I'm canceling yours.
Well, there have been a lot of complaints, especially with the Amazon warehouses and like how impossible it is for people to fulfill Amazon orders for the workers.
And yet, everyone on the show will continue to order through Amazon and order on Prime, won't you?
You know, I've
who's been, ready to give up their Prime and not order?
No.
Not me?
No.
I've been doing it less. Only because of the packaging. It's like you order
right,
one
order.
Right,
not because
order.
Of your care for humanity.
No, I care about the I care about the humans, too.
I know you care about the humans, but that's not going into your
breaks.
Decision.
It is. That's,
oh, it is?
I'm saying both of those things because it's so much packaging. And people can't even take bathroom breaks because they have to meet their quotas or they'll get dinged or and fired. Quickly after.
Well, why can't they order diapers in Prime, have them delivered directly to them?
Steve. I'm not a Prime member, Steve, just for the record.
Why is that?
Yeah, it's $99 a year. It's not in on it.
It's $99.
$99. What do I need that for? Give me my spoon.
I am not interested in making Jeff Bezos another dime. $99, you will get that back in the free shipping in probably five orders.
It's still free shipping. You just have to wait 3 weeks to get it.
That's not free shipping. Free shipping is I want it tomorrow or the next day.
No. I'm good. Give me my spoon in 3 weeks. I don't need it tomorrow.
This is why coming up in just a few minutes.
Oh, yes.
A deep dive into Mark's wedding planning and why Chelsea hasn't run.
Believe me, we're getting a lot of packages showing up at the place. And to G's point, it's nauseating. Okay, I'll throw this mound down to recycling.
So anyway, Bill Gates, don't worry about him. He's fine. He gave away $35 billion.
Well, he's one of the billionaires that said that he's going to give the majority of his money away instead of passing it on to his children.
Yeah, they're going to be fine, too.
Oh, they'll be fine. Yeah. They'll still be fine.
Coming up, Steve Grzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right after this. Okay, because G just threw me off. G just said, I don't know if Steve listens to me. He probably ignores me. Why would you say that?
I was referencing something I said yesterday, but it was during a commercial
break. I ever ignored you?
No, but you're multitasking. You have a lot of things to do. You got a lot of buttons over there.
Don't try to get out of this
you're
comment now.
You're running the show?
No, don't try to get
so
out
I
of this.
Just, like, I was just testing it
How
out
could I respond to you if I was ignoring
see?
You? I mean, like, Carms, I'll ignore. You, I listen to.
No, but I appreciate
Watch,
it.
Watch, Carms,
kind of
say
a test.
Something to me.
It was a test.
Hey, Steve.
See, I didn't even hear
it. It was
that.
A test. And you passed the test.
Okay. This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Rick Springfield, is that who this is? Right? And this Rick Springfield, I wish I had Jesse to go. Remember when everybody thought this was hip?
Yeah. Well, because he was like a TV star or something.
And adorable.
He just turned 70, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow.
Dexter from the 331. I love Mark. He's the wise one of the bunch.
Oh, thank you. Not accurate, but...
I would say hi to Jessica's mother. Not Jesse's girl, Jessica's mother.
Who's Jessica?
None of your business. I know, a young listener to the show who called up and said, can you say hi to my mom? I just thought it was nice.
Aw.
That's all.
Hi, Mom.
Now, Carmen, as you know, you're getting married.
I do know that. That's
and when
true.
Is that happening?
I believe we're down to 73 days, Steve. November 30th. Let me see.
I certainly hope when you count the days, you put it this way.
Hang on a second.
It's Thanksgiving
weekend. 73
weekend.
More days as opposed to, we're down to 73 days.
I can't
sound like a guy
wait.
Is waiting to be executed.
Honestly, I had not checked how many days it was in a while. For at least 3 days, and it is 73 days, so I'm impressed by me right now.
73 days, and you can't wait!
I can't wait. I'm really excited.
You need to sell that better. Repeat after me. I can't wait. The inflection matters. Now listen to me.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I can't wait.
It's because he's a wise old man inside. That's why. He's an old soul. He's
I'm
wise.
I'm telling you, your inflection and your tone is going to get you in trouble at home.
Because he's been living it every day, though.
Listen, I'm super excited. I'm doing everything I can to get it.
Wow.
Dude, I love you. You're like the little brother I didn't ask for.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
But having said that, you couldn't sound less interested. I'm trying to help you.
See, why is it that I'm the only one that's real about weddings? Everybody else like, I am so in love. I can't wait. No, you're not. No, none of that's true. You're scared. You don't know what you're doing. Let's be real. I'm the only one that brings the realness.
Okay, let's be real right now. Chelsea's sleeping right now, isn't she?
Yes.
That's why you have the guts to say this.
No. Listen, I've gotten in enough trouble in this wedding.
Mostly from the show.
Yes.
Okay.
Your lead into my wedding has been detrimental to my life, but I've continued to be as honest and forthright as I can with you, Steve.
I'm just trying to help.
You look like you had fun at the shower. You
Are
did
you
great.
Nuts?
The what? Weddings look, I mean, the pictures.
Smiles.
Yeah, the pictures looked amazing.
Don't get me started on guys going to bridal showers.
Shower?
It's the dumbest tradition ever.
Was it a couple shower?
Yeah, they're all couple showers now.
Oh.
It was a beautiful bridal shower.
Okay, that part you don't have to be excited about.
But if it's a bridal shower, but you were there.
You have to show up at the end and bring the gifts back, and then they played a little game.
If you need someone to carry the crap to the car, Carmen and his buddies will be happy to do it. Men,
I agree with you, Steve.
Men do not want to go to a bridal shower.
Well, because they have to play the shoe game at the end all the time.
Well, that's not the only reason.
The shoe game. You don't know what that is?
I don't know what the shoe game is.
That's where your wife hits you with a shoe.
No, you both sit on a chair back to back. You hold up each other's shoe, and then they ask you a question like, who wears the pants in the family? And then they hold up a shoe and see if their answer is correct.
Just hearing about this makes my head explode.
It's the shoe game.
It's just what they do.
That's painful for even me.
Everybody does.
Is this like an Amish thing, Mary?
It's a bridal shower thing.
To Mary's point, we did play that game, but we didn't use a shoe. We had my niece made some beautiful things that we held up.
Steve.
That was the best part.
Before Chelsea wakes up, we've got to address this issue. We buried the lead at the top of the show because Carm said that before he went into the bathroom to shave his beard, he did it. They had a tiff. Did you miss that? He said that they had a tiff.
Nah, I didn't
and then he didn't
that.
Tell her.
No, it's exactly what you said. You said you had a fight and you went and you were telling her. You know what he did? He did a revenge shave.
I did.
Yes.
He revenge shaved his face.
That's the worst.
Isn't it good that I listened? I listened.
Yeah,
I remembered.
I heard it. And then Chelsea's mad because you shaved your beard because she thought you looked like another guy and she didn't have to think it was you.
Right.
She would never do that.
I believe the quotes were she just looked at me. She's like, you look bare.
Bare.
But not in a hot way.
No, it was definitely not hot. No, it was. And then turned the other way and, you know, went on with her day.
Well, listen, because I feel like a lot of the listeners, whenever we go down this path, say, leave him alone, leave him alone, leave him alone. Of course, I won't. Because I want to respond to those listeners and just say, I'm just trying to help. And because of that, we looked at your wedding registry yesterday.
Oh, come on.
And
don't get me anything off the registry. Anybody who's like likes me at all.
Well, how about
just
you
Bulls tickets?
How about you listen to what happened?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Crate and Barrel's where you registered, by the way, in case you weren't sure, because I'm not sure you knew. So we looked through the wedding registry for Viv. How long? About an hour? Hour and a half?
I'm so triggered right now.
That sounds right.
And I was trying to find something that I thought would be meaningful and special that the show could give to you. And we picked up a couple of items. You tell them. What are the two items we picked up, Vivian?
So we got you Joseph garlic rocker.
A what?
A garlic rocker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a garlic rocker is?
No.
I didn't either.
It's by Joseph Joseph, though.
Gee,
so
what's
it's
a garlic
good stuff.
Well, it's just you kind of...
Joseph Joseph.
It's the brand.
I don't know, but
Joseph
it sounds
Joseph
awesome.
Is the brand.
It's the brand of the garlic rocker.
But
I
all
have
you
to
do
say it.
Is you take the garlic clove, you put it on the board, and then you take the garlic rocker and put it on top and kind of rock it back and forth, and it goes ahead and it like chops up the garlic.
So
for
it
you.
Minces it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. Like, this is what happens, by the way. This is what happened at the shower. Oh my God, that's from Nambe. As if I have any idea what Nambe is or Joseph Rocker, and it's a stupid garlic thing. And why does it have to have some? Why does some
easy, easy,
but
buddy?
Steve-
By the way, we also got you a
peak highball glasses set of 12.
Ooh, and you know why we got you highball glasses? Because highball makes me laugh. Because I'm immature. I just hear the word highball and I giggle.
You need an old fashioned and a Manhattan.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. So this allows you to make highballs for all your friends that you're going to be socializing with when you throw couples parties.
That's the other thing, too. Well, when we have Thanksgiving, when are we ever going to have Thanksgiving? We're not having Thanksgiving once every 7 years. Yeah. Now I've got all these dishes for Thanksgiving that we never use. Who's going to? How do you even store that stuff, Steve?
So anyway,
this is what you have to buy a house now
and
with
get
cabinets.
Furniture.
I must have missed a part where you said thanks. That was really thoughtful.
I really appreciate it, Steve.
Very, all the work very, that we put into this. Come on.
Very nice of you. I can't wait for my garlic masher and the. I like the highballs. Thanks.
Would you prefer that I'd gotten you the French Kitchen marble wine cooler?
Probs not.
I mean, the mesh grill basket with wood handle is really coming in close.
Is this really all
that
stuff?
That came in third.
Are you guys on his registry?
Yeah, we're looking at it right now.
Where is it?
It doesn't. This
it's
is not
Crate and Barrel. Oh.
None of this is real, Mary.
Target?
No, it's a Crate and Barrel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a Crate and Barrel.
Well,
I also
so
considered
now.
Getting you the 7-speed hand mixer, which, by the way, is not something you paid for on a trip with your friends.
Can you return these things and get the money, or do they just give you a gift credit? How's
well, the one you want to return is the KitchenAid Artisan Stand Mixer. That's $380.
It's $380, huh?
Yeah. No. And by the way, I did not get you that.
Aren't you at Bed Bath & Beyond?
No, he's at Crate and Barrel.
I think we have multiple places.
Yeah, I bet
we're
you do.
We're at Bloomies. We're at...
He tried to get Chelsea to register at Dick's Sporting Goods. And
I did.
723 MVPP coming up.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
I get peppered by women, by the way, before we go to the MVPP. Women don't want to go to wedding showers either, Steve. 815. I'm a woman. I hate bridal showers. I never would have dreamed of torturing my husband and making him attend ours.
Yeah, I don't think I would have one either.
It's a small sample. Mm-hmm. Well, why not? Get the gifts.
Yeah, at this point.
You could do what Mark did. I could get you a couple guests, and you could not say thank you until I remember you.
Thanks, Steve.
Look, I love golf. I've made no secret of that, and I go on and on about it to the point of people going, stop talking about it. But that's not important right now. What's important is that you know the MVPP revolves around the great game of golf this morning, starting with Jonathan Snyder, director of the Freedom Golf I want to get this right. The Freedom Golf Association. Let me go to Jonathan to make sure I got that right. Jonathan, is that right?
Yes, sir. Freedom Golf Association.
And the Freedom Golf Association does what?
We bring joy and a sense of freedom to the special needs and wounded veteran community through their inclusion in the game of golf. You know, basically, we just have a lot of fun with the game of golf and trying to teach the fundamentals to get more individuals out on the course.
And these are the people that wouldn't otherwise not have access to the game because, for instance, the recent FedEx Cup, you were able to put together several of them with Dustin Johnson, an opportunity to be around one of the best in the game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We just had a very, very wonderful clinic at the BMW Championship. We can't thank the Western Golf Association, the BMW Championship, and Shriners enough for helping provide that opportunity for us.
Also joining us on the phone is Mike Ferguson. Let me get Mike in here as well. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us. This is awesome. We're happy to be here.
Mike is, he's worked as an advisor guiding first-time entrepreneurs how to get from concept to launch, but you're the part of the Freedom Golf Association as well. What do you want to add?
Well, you know, I joined this organization at the beginning of the year, and I've heard about it before. I played in the golf outing a few times, and it's a wonderful organization. We were founded back in 2012 by Edmund Sylvester. He goes by EQ Sylvester, who had had a very successful business career, and then sold his company, retired, and within months had contracted sepsis. Now, he had planned on spending the rest of his life traveling and playing golf. And once he got sepsis, he woke up, you know, 3 weeks later from a coma and was a triple amputee. So lost both legs and one of his hands. And anyway, he tried to go out and play golf and was having a tough time and couldn't find anybody to teach him how to play golf. And then he realized, you know, there's a need out here for people that have had either physical or developmental problems that would like to play golf. And they just don't find they couldn't find anybody to teach them how. So he's like, well, now I'm 8 years old and I've got a new mission in life. I'm going to found an organization and we're going to train coaches and we're going to get people out to,
cool story.
To learn how to play golf.
I love the term adaptive golfers that you're using. Can you describe some of the challenges that the golfers, face? Like, I mean, you're helping children all the way to adults.
Oh, yeah. You know, Jonathan runs our clinic, so if Jonathan might want to address that because he knows all the stuff, stories and everything. This is what he does on a daily basis.
We come across everyone with that from possibly losing the use of some of their limbs to individuals with developmental challenges, as well as stroke survivors and burn survivors that or have to adjust to their new body. So that a lot of the time that is really what it comes down to is just adjusting to their new bodies. And that's why we really love the term adaptive golf, because anytime you play golf, you have to adapt to the situation, whether it's the wind or the climate or the weather. So
or how loudly the
individual
curse.
That we were. Well, we try and keep that to a minimum.
Oh, that was me. Sorry. No, I mean, it's a hard game. It's the hardest game there is to play well and to really enjoy it and to be able to get out in fresh air and to do it, especially when you had that capability at one point and to be able to accept, you know, that you got an extra hurdle to speed bump to get over in life and have somebody working with you so you can enjoy the game again. I really salute what you guys do.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how much therapeutic rehabilitation it actually provides.
I bet. Oh. Yeah, I'll bet.
So one of our favorite stories, or one of my favorite stories, is from the BMW. We were invited out there to do this drive, to hold a driving range clinic.
Uh-huh.
And we invited a bunch of kids from Shriners Hospital, including our youth ambassador and Shriners Hospital's previous ambassador, Connor. And Connor and Connor's 13, Jonathan and another associate of ours, Tracy Raymond, were brought up on the driving range. Mark Wilson was in charge of everything. He used to be on tour for 17 years, and there was a crowd of about 200 people there. And Connor, who's been coming to our clinics, for a year or so now, Jonathan, and he's been, you know, getting better and better, and now he's 13. He gets to compete in Illinois Junior Golf Association tournaments. And, you know, Connor's got this beautiful swing, and Mark Wilson was interviewing him and asking some questions. Connor just takes the microphone, turns around, and addresses these kids and talks about how he was, you know, when he was younger, he might have had some hardships in his life. He's 13. I'm thinking,
how about that?
When he was younger, and he gives a little motivational speech to these guys
about
you know, how golf has changed his life and how he's so appreciative for Freedom Golf Association. And now he focuses and he sets goals and he really goes out and attacks not just golf but life. He's such a positive kid and doing fantastic. So and then there was another kid there who Tim, who he was born with no arms, and now we've arranged for him to have some special clubs. I can't really tell you too much about it, but you know, now he's going to be able to play golf as well.
Well, how do we help you guys?
Everybody can play golf.
Sure, absolutely, and it's important. How do we help you guys?
Well, we've got a casino night coming up. We'd like to, you know, mention that. It's Friday, November 15th at Ruffled Feathers, so there's some sponsorship packages available. And depending on who's listening, what we really would like is some people to step up and say, you know what, this is a fantastic organization, and we'd like to make a donation. Or, you know, even a corporation that wants to say,
sure,
listen, I want to get behind this as well, and I want to sponsor you guys for a lot of your program for next year. That would be the best outcome that we could ever hope for.
And the best way to get that information and to get a hold of you guys to do it is to do what?
Go to our website.
Which is?
FGAGolf.org. FGAGolf.org.
FGAGolf.org. All right. Big shot.
Or give us a call. Can I put my phone number out there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's, our number is 630-455-6018.
To bring the greatest game to everybody is a really cool mission to have. So along with your busy lives, I thank you, Jonathan, for what you do every day, and Mike for taking the time to do it as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
All the best.
You
bet. All the best, gentlemen.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Wait, Fact or Fiction coming up. John DeCostas here. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Let's see if Carm's ready to get married now. You did your guest list. You decided what your theme is. What is your theme?
We don't have a theme, Steve.
You have to have a theme. It's a wedding.
What are your colors?
Don't know that either. I think we're...
What?
Well, Chelsea would know.
What are the bridesmaids wearing? What color?
She's not having bridesmaids. Her sisters are like something-somethings, and I'm working on...
What are you? Something-something?
Something-something.
What does that mean? You mean you don't know what they're called?
Maid of honor?
A little something-something?
Why can't we? Is your sister married or not married?
Listen, there's going to be food.
Is your sister married or not married?
Her sister, one married, one divorced.
Okay, well, matron of honor or maid of honor?
Maybe maybe they're personal attendants. Sometimes they call them that.
You have your caterer? Your venue caterer?
We have a venue. I know that.
The venue supplying the food?
The venue supplying the food, yes.
Did we decide on the suits? Remember, that was a big issue.
We're bringing in, the big move is we're bringing in Superdog for the post-game meal. I think that was a good choice.
Nice.
Do we have a wedding dress?
We have a wedding dress, yes.
Okay, do we have tuxedos?
Nope. I think we're going suits. But
what's the color in the suits?
I don't know that answer yet, Steve. I think we'll go traditional black.
Good news is there's 73 days left.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to make that choice till the morning he gets married.
Well, we're going to have a situation coming up here where we'll figure out the suit thing.
You got the hotel rooms booked? For out of town guests?
I think so.
What about the honeymoon?
Don't know what we're doing, Matt.
Are you going to take some time off from your 300 jobs?
Depends on the Bears' schedule. Hopefully, they'll continue winning games.
Did you take engagement photos?
That sounds right.
No.
Will the Superdog people insult and harass and yell at your wedding attendant?
I think that's Wiener Circle that you're referencing.
Oh, you're talking Superdog. Oh, Superdog is Maury and Flory.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Do you have invitations then?
They're almost done, Steve.
Okay, that's supposed to be done a year ago.
No. At some point, we're going to send out invitations. Hasn't happened yet.
How about save the dates? Were those sent out? Because I'm going to say I didn't get one.
We blew off the save the date.
Well, okay. You do know you need to give her a gift, though, on the day of the wedding.
Is that true?
Yes, you need to write her a personalized note with a gift. Like
another gift?
Mark said the gift is himself.
I gave a gift to the bridal shower. Does that count?
Well, I think you should do one on the wedding day.
If I were you, I would just give her like a score. Like she could open it up and get an update on the score.
But do it first before you release it to the public.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Do you, have you, do you? I lost my list here. Hold on 1 second while I stall and pretend I didn't. Florist. Did you meet with florist?
Haven't seen the florist yet. But I know there will be flowers, Steve. I was fighting for fake flowers because who can really tell the difference?
What about the wedding bands?
Excuse me?
Wedding bands?
The rings.
She got an engagement ring.
But you have to have the actual
have
band.
Wedding ring.
Yeah.
When you do the vows, what do you put on her finger?
The same ring. We take it off and put it back on? No.
No.
Is that not how that works?
No.
Have you ever looked at a woman's hand? Woman's hand? There's an engagement ring and a wedding band, and generally they somehow match together in a
sometimes
way that's appealing.
Sometimes they solder together, you know, afterwards. Sometimes.
Right. I haven't gotten the band yet.
So. All right, how are we doing on the rehearsal dinner?
Not that great. We're working
on
venues.
That's your department. Your family's department. The rehearsal dinner?
You're going to have a band?
It's the guys
thing. We are having a band. We have the band.
The band hired?
The band is hired, yes.
Okay. If you're doing Superdog for the wedding, maybe you could do for the rehearsal Denny's.
Why not?
Hey, good idea, John. Who's doing the wedding?
What do you mean?
Well, you haven't hired me. Who's going to do the officiating?
Oh, the officiating? We have a rabbi, Steve. We wanted to go to the... I know. I'm sorry. I said Steve really
wants... Did I tell
wants...
you what I charge for these things?
How much?
Zero.
Well, see, that would have been a good... I would have paid you, Steve.
Yeah. And I don't... I mean, I don't even want to go.
I don't... I'm aware.
Hence no invite.
How many people are you having to the wedding?
Listen, I'm inviting the whole show and the entire station. That's what's happening. And
do you have a limo?
A limo?
Yeah.
For what?
When you leave the reception.
No, we're not going.
Or are you
anywhere.
Doing a horse and buggy?
We're,
do you have a chuppah?
You got a Vega? You got to tie cans to it? What do you got?
The wedding's at a hotel. We're not leaving. We're staying.
But you should have something like when you walk
right around
out,
the block.
No, but you have to. Yeah, literally. When you walk out,
is
you have to have some
the
place
hotel
to go.
As well?
Ceremonies in the hotel.
Oh, but aren't you going to come out
that's
from where the thing. Wedding is? You're going to come out and have a greeting situation. Turn around and go back in.
I know you have a cocktail hour.
We don't have anything like that going on. See, is White Lightning available?
White Lightning is for you.
Did we say he had a photographer?
Yeah, do you have a photographer?
Yes.
And a videographer?
Tammy Latham is going to take pictures.
You know, the Catholics are big on premarital counseling. Are the Jews?
Yes, we believe in that, Steve. We're going twice a day.
Okay, good. Because you're big on counseling, and I salute that.
I am a counseling.
You want to self-examine to the point where people go, stop asking me questions.
Pretty much.
Okay.
That's where we're at.
You got a cake?
I'm not sure if we have
just
cake.
Plan on going to Jewel nobody and picking one up that nobody picked up.
We're bringing in a gelato cart.
Did you just say nobody cares about the cake?
Yeah, you know the two most important things at a wedding that people remember the most about any wedding: the band or the music and the liquor. That's it.
Oh, I love it's cake.
You got that. Nobody it's cares food. About the food.
Oh, people actually absolutely care about the food.
I don't know. What do you remember? Do you always remember?
No,
what
you don't
you
remember.
Ate at a wedding?
Listen, let me explain.
Nobody
something.
Remembers anything.
No, they remember except, if it's bad.
Except if the liquor was good and the band was good.
The guy wants to eat. The guy wants to eat and drink. Drink okay. and eat.
Well,
if you got somebody coming
much.
To the wedding just wanting to drink, they're an alcoholic.
Well, okay. I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
You can even have two cakes. You can have the regular cake and then the groom's cake.
Just don't put fruit in it.
Ooh.
I go for the couple. I just want to see a happy couple.
Thanks, Steve.
Oh, hold on. The crapometer just hit 10.
I mean, Mark Carman is glowing. I mean, he's thrilled. He's excited.
He's thrilled because his segment's almost over.
I wish the listeners could see his giant smile on his face. He's so excited to get married.
What are you going
to
do for your groomsmen? You got two as well, I assume.
Got to buy him a gift.
News coming up at the top of the hour, Steve. What am I doing for the groomsmen?
Yeah.
You do have to buy them gifts.
Yeah, I actually have a plan for the groomsmen. I want everybody to we've
new cups,
like signed baseballs.
I want everybody wearing Air Jordans. I don't plan on. I'm gonna wear the Jordan ones.
Are you gonna buy them?
They're gonna wear the twos, the three. Yes,
nice.
I'm gonna buy them Jordans.
That's cool.
You know,
that's
most receptions
really
now have photo booths. Did you book a photo booth?
I don't have a photo booth, but I did go to a wedding on Saturday. They did have a photo booth. It was a nice touch.
Yeah, it is cool. It's
do you have the ceremony set up? Like, you know what the readings are gonna be?
No, we don't have the readings. Any of that.
Steve has like a 100-point list over there.
Did what you just have a right sense now? That I didn't have any of this done? Well, where are we?
No, not at all.
Yeah, oh God.
Do you have that big frame where everybody sticks their head in it and takes a picture?
Don't have the big frame.
Yeah.
Don't know what that is, but
did
we
you
don't
hear,
have
did
it.
You,
do you have a song picked
really
out?
I'm really starting
your song
to hate weddings
to?
Right now. I'll be honest with you.
I have
do you have a song that you're going to dance to?
I have a song that I want to dance to, but we have not partnered
this
very
is
well.
Not a solo dance thing.
Wait, have you practiced the dance? Yeah. Have you taken dance lessons?
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, Mark Carman.
Yeah.
we are taking
hey,
dance.
Hey, Chelsea, why don't you sit this one out?
I got this.
Carman's had dance instruction already, so he should be doing something.
The Bulls intro song. I want Gary Glitter playing. I'm going to, you know, something along those lines.
You think you're tense now. Wait till I get to the final week, the night before, and the wedding day. Texter, Steve, go easy on Carm. You're making all of us have flashbacks, every guy in the audience, and the pressure we were under.
That's true.
312-981-7200, fact or fiction in just a second. We only have time for one player. 312-981-7200. Call now if you want to win a bunch of stuff. Completely clueless, appearing from the back of the temple.
Thanks, Steve.
773 Texter. Wait, he's buying Jordans? Does he need a ring bearer? I'm 55 and I'm available in 73 days.
You're in.
Liz is on the phone to play Fact or Fiction. And Liz, how are you? Hello, Liz. Do I need to put her on hold, or can I say hi? Liz, are you there? Nope.
We got to punch her up, Steve. There you go.
Liz, are you there now?
I am here. How are you?
I'm good. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Fact or fiction?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? You're so sweet.
Aw, thank you. You're sweet, too. You know that.
Aw, thank you so much.
What about Carm? Is Carm sweet?
Oh, absolutely. Well, Carm, yeah, oh, my God. Carm, you make me laugh so hard every time I hear you.
Doesn't Carm sound like a
catch? I just want to call in, and oh, my gosh.
Thanks, Liz.
Let me ask you a question, Liz. I don't know your status, but would you marry Carm based on what you heard today?
Now, Carm is married or getting married. Yeah, he's getting married.
Yeah. But that really wasn't the question, was it, Liz?
Yeah, I don't know if Carm would like me.
I'm sure Carm would love you.
I love
Fact
you, Liz.
Fact or fiction, John?
Here you go, Liz. Baby Ruth in Swahili is Budabwa.
Why is every time you come in, we got to have a Swahili question for me?
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
All right, it's Swahili what?
I don't know.
Fact or fiction?
I'm gonna say fact for the heck of it.
All right, let's put you on hold to figure this out. Fact or fiction? Again, repeat the question.
I'm sorry. Baby Ruth in Swahili is Budabwa.
How did this even occur to you? What's the matter with you? Budabwa, that's fiction.
Fabrication.
I believe that is false.
Anybody believe it's true?
I believe it's true. I'll say fact.
All right. The spaceman believes it's true.
Okay. Yes.
And is it true or false?
Of course not.
It's false.
Budabwa. I don't even know what that means.
By the way, Liz, because that was another Swahili question, our third of the day, you win anyway. I'm going to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, loumalnati's.com, and an app gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. Go online at abt.com. We're coming back with your news next. What was it, Carms?
I just think it's amazing that John's sitting around thinking, well, you know what? I'm going to say that Baby Ruth is Budabwa in Swahili and bring that to the show. That's
what I bring to the show.
You know what I love? I love that Budabwa. I love that in show business you have that kind of time.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. I actually caught myself the other day going, I can't believe I got to do something that was just a regular life event. How do I even have time? And then I remembered, I work 4 hours a day.
That's right.
And then I laughed at myself and pointed. What did I say? Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We're coming back next with Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah,
I gotta give my fellow moron credit. He's up last night doing the 25th anniversary special. He's on TV this morning looking fit as a fiddle. Yeah, I don't even know what fit as a fiddle means.
We have very good makeup people here.
It was very impressive.
I drove through an Earl Scheib this morning and just got $99.
What did that cost, Dean? What did
$99.
That cost?
$99. Any part of your head.
We'll paint any car or WGN morning news personality sleep deprived for $99.
Did you have some sort of party after the show last night?
We did not.
So basically you told everybody to get out?
It was... The security escorted us out of the building.
You're like a live audience. Hey, I know you guys are awake, but get out.
They checked us to make sure we didn't steal anything and then escorted us from the building.
I got to tell you, my two favorite moments in the special were seeing Mel Gibson call you an a-hole again.
That's always a good one.
And Tom Skilling threatening to kill Pat Tomasulo is still one of the funniest things that ever happened.
Tom freaking Skilling.
Yeah. Do you know who I am?
It's so good.
I love that. But then he had lived this while when they were recording this funny bit. They said, you know, after you chase Pat, you know, do something funny, like you pretend to answer the phone. And he answers the phone. Apparently, like hundreds of calls he must get every day,
sure.
Of people asking him what the weather's going to be like. He goes, hello? Yeah, it's going to rain today. What do you want me to do about it?
Yeah, and then he hangs up.
And slams the phone down.
Things Tom would like to do but won't.
Yeah, it was fun. We had fun, and now I'm sick of us, and we need to move on.
There's another great moment in the special, if you DVR'd it and you can watch it, where an audience member asked a question, and I'm told this question probably gets asked more than anything else, and that's, do you guys hang out after the show?
Right.
And you all did spit takes. Like, are you kidding? Hang out with these idiots?
You know, it's funny, because back in the day, we actually did go out a lot after the show. You know, everybody was single. Nobody had kids. You know, now everyone is out the door.
Paul Conrad went out with you guys?
Yeah. Back in the day, wow. He did. Yeah.
Yeah. We saw Annabelle Laval's first day.
We showed everybody's first day. I couldn't find my first day on the show, so I.
Oh, by the way, that shot of you interviewing somebody in a telethon—that was not you. There's no way that was you.
That was me in 1983.
Wow. With giant Kreskin glasses.
Yeah, giant Kreskin / Sally Jesse Raphael glasses,
and hair.
Yeah, and wow. Hair. That was a good one. People seem to be enjoying that one, and everyone seems to be enjoying the clip of when we did the relay race, and I fell in rather dramatic fashion.
Oh, God. That was a nasty fall.
Tore my hamstring.
Yeah.
I was on crutches.
You're
for a while.
You're lucky alive.
I am. That's the kind of giver I am, though, for the show.
Speaking of running, you had the Robin Baumgarten 1K. How long did it take to finish that? Because you guys milked like 2 hours out of that on the show.
It took about 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was real time. It was all real time.
Do you ever sit back and watch some of the video from these things and go, this is like Cirque du Soleil on TV? None of this makes sense.
Yeah, I've described it as most often you look around and feel like you're in the middle of a Fellini movie.
Yeah.
On the show
because your executive producer and you know the other producers, they seem to have a fascination with weird fantasy type things. Suddenly, you know, mythological creatures appear in the hallway and things. Yep. It's just inexplicable.
Yeah, I'll never forget. Really, one day we had a couple of the surviving Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz on the show. We had like some acrobats on the show. We had somebody with live reptiles all in one studio, and I was interviewing Rita Moreno just a few feet away from all of us. And she looks at me very politely and goes, you have a very interesting morning show. I said, it's like being in a Fellini movie, isn't it?
Well, the number one voted segment by, I don't know, staff, I assume, because it was easy to find the video.
Viewers.
I'm talking about the Tom Hanks thing. Who did the top nine? Was that the staff?
That was the staff, yeah.
Tom Hanks having all of his movies done in the hallway by character as you walked him down the hallway. That was actually very cool.
Yeah, something that's been repeated on James Corden, by the way. Recently, within the last year, they did like a recap of Tom Hanks' career. But we did it in 2011.
Yeah, well, Corden's big on stealing material. You know, he stole karaoke from me.
Yep.
I had lunch with him, and I told him, yeah, I got this guy, John DeCoste. He does this hilarious thing where he sings with people in the car, and he said, I'll be right back. Haven't seen him since. No, he's a good dude. Whitney Houston's coming, a Backstreet Boy. Nick Carter is in the news. Taylor Swift is in the news. Is she doing The Voice or something? I heard she's doing one of these reality shows.
She's launching a sort of a tour.
Okay.
That's the story that I have. I don't know about The Voice.
Devil Wears Prada. There's some news
musical,
about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that movie. Did I like that movie?
I love that movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Goodness. Isn't Elton John like doing the music?
You did like it.
I did like it? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
So excited.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know who that was one of her first movies of substance was?
Anne Hathaway.
Not Anne Hathaway.
Meryl Streep.
Yes. It's Meryl Streep's first role.
Sir Laurence Olivier. Wasn't he in Devil Wears Prada?
Yes.
Sir Laurence Olivier.
Yeah, he played the devil. No, the woman, I can't think of her name. She married the dude from The Office.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt.
Yeah. Emily Blunt. Right. Yeah.
She
Emily
was the
Blunt,
breakout star.
Emily Blunt had two early movies where you go, I didn't know she was in that. Charlie Wilson, she plays a hot little tart. Charlie Wilson's War.
And she was the original Rambo.
And she was Rambo. And then there was Devil Wears Prada.
But she did steal the show in that movie.
I love Emily
Blunt. I love her.
She's tremendous.
Love her.
Wow, look at this. Look at this love for this.
Yeah, we love Emily Blunt. We don't like you guys.
Very happy news for Broadway in Chicago.
All right, take a little nap, Dean. We'll come back in a second.
Wow.
Instant shut off. 8:22. What's coming up at 8:30?
You'll be calling his name
Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Now, any of these items on the list today could or could not be true, because we don't know if Dean was hallucinating from a lack of sleep when he sent this over to me.
You know, actually, I may be the only one on the show that's like my normal sleep.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because you're out most nights.
I'm out most nights going to see movies or plays or something. Yeah. So I actually got home earlier than usual last night.
So you feel good.
And by the email reaction that we're getting, and by the way, thank you everybody who watched. Thank you everyone who's been, you know, part of this. Sincerely, we appreciate it.
I bet you got a big number. When are you going to see the overnight?
Probably an hour or so. We'll see what the ratings were like. But you know, thanks to all of our producers, all of our writers, directors, our engineers. There's so many people.
What about me? You didn't think me
go into making the show? But most of all, Steve Cochran has been a guiding light for all of us on the WGN Morning News.
A guiding light,
and we appreciate that. But just based on the reaction on the, I am honored that I have been chosen best dressed on the show last night.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Yeah, you and Anna Balabala, great in the blue.
Anna and I coordinated. Anna had beautiful gowns on. She actually was the most beautiful on the show.
And that includes Paul Conrad.
Everybody, they rolled out of bed. No, Anna had some beautiful gowns on because, you know, we were like sort of, quote, on the red carpet interviewing wacky people.
Yeah.
So I had a beautiful tuxedo. I had like a midnight blue tuxedo for 1 hour, and then a maroon tuxedo jacket in the second hour.
Did you have to get both of those back by midnight, or can you take
them
back?
No. And Anna also, we both had fabulous costume changes. But I got to say, I'm looking at some of the pictures from last night. We look damn good.
I loved Anna's blue dress that matched your tux. You guys looked great.
Yeah, you really did.
We took some prom pictures.
What was it called? The fun room?
The fun lounge.
The fun lounge. By the way, that looked like some sort of LSD trip from the 70s. I don't know what the hell was going on there. Gambling and bouncing. You know how weird that room was? The people from Blue Man Group called and went, I don't get it.
I loved when Dean had to interview the robot.
Brad the robot.
You guys stole that from America's Got Talent. I think they have a fun lounge. They have the Dunkin' Donut fun lounge.
I don't know. Ours is not blatantly commercial like that.
Yeah, because nobody in sales sold it.
Yeah, I don't know I don't know when they started theirs. But, hey, you know, we're not above stealing from somebody.
Yeah, I know. Steal from you.
I know. Half this show is on your show. Whitney Houston's hologram is on tour?
I hate these hologram tours. God. I think it's so weird. Some people like it. But the Whitney Houston estate, the people who are supposed to be looking after preserving her memory, they are the ones that are behind putting to this tour together where a hologram of Whitney Houston will sing with a live band, with backup singers, with dancers.
Wow.
And it's going to go on tour. It's going to be in the UK starting next year. I'd be shocked if it didn't come here to the United States. But I say, you know, can we let her rest in peace? Would that be a terrible thing?
No, it would not be. And these are the same people that did the Calvin Coolidge hologram tour, so I understand.
No, not good.
Nick Carter's in the news?
Nick Carter, who is one of the Backstreet Boys, has issued a restraining order against his brother, Aaron Carter. He alleges that Aaron Carter threatened to kill his wife. So they went and did the legal...
Aaron Carter's had the addiction issues?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. He said that he's astounded that he would never harm anybody, and certainly not his family. And he also has been on the TV show The Doctors, in which he himself talked about having schizophrenia and multiple personality disorder and lots of problems. So that's very sad that's going on.
What's the Taylor Swift story? Because, as you know, I'm a Swiftie.
You are Swiftie, and as many people know, regional president of the Taylor Swift fan club here in the Midwest.
I felt so bad. Ron Majors came to our last Swiftie fan club meeting.
Yeah.
And he pulled a muscle getting up into the tree fort where we have the meeting.
Got to be careful when you go up there,
gotta
Ron.
Stretch.
Got to be careful. She's going to be going on tour in 2020, but none of the dates will be here in the Chicago area. They're sporadic around the United States, but so far, none of the concert dates
that is an outrage
will be here in Chicago.
The Devil Wears Prada musical?
Is going to be premiering at the Nederlander Theater next summer, in the summer of 2020. It'll be here for about a month before it goes to Broadway, so it'll make its world premiere here. Tickets are not on sale yet. They have not announced any stars in this yet, but we do know that Elton John will be doing the original music for the production.
And sadly, Sandra Van Oker died. Sandra Van Oker was a great, great reporter, mostly politics. It started with NBC. I remember him mostly from ABC. And he also worked for the New York Times. Anyway, he's a Northwestern guy.
Yeah. Wasn't he one of the reporters during the Huntley-Brinkley era?
Yeah, I believe so.
Of NBC.
Yeah.
Like, one of the real classic reporters, classic and ethical. And that's when a reporter was a reporter.
And I think I'm right about this. He grew up mostly in Peoria. I think that's where the family spent their time.
I may be changing my name to Sander.
I like Van Oker, Dean Van Oker.
I like Van Okra.
All right, now, last thing. Here's the reveal. Did any of the regular cast take today off because they were too tired to come to work?
No. No.
Everybody's there.
No, amazingly, everybody's here. Now, some of the slackers on the show, they did, because many of the people on the show live in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, very far north suburb. Robin, very far south suburban, and others sporadic. A few of us live in the neighborhood here by WGN, but they were put up at a hotel last night, so they would be near the station, so okay. they wouldn't have to drive all the way home.
I know the neighborhood around the station. There's no hotel that I would stay at.
I didn't say they spent a lot of money on hotels.
Okay, all right. I'm just curious.
Well, I'm just saying.
We got new owners. You got to be careful.
They got a clean bed, and I understand.
Is it the place where they leave the light on?
I don't know exactly, but I did hear some gossip in the hallway that somebody had a great time with the Magic Fingers bed.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that means.
Every cast member gets a roll of quarters. You think they'd have that on an app by now. All right there, not sleepy guy. Nice job by you.
See ya. Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Okay. That's Dean Richards. We're back with the headlines in a moment at 720 WGN. It's 8:45. And my pal Adam Burrish is on the phone. I can't believe Adam Burrish and I didn't go on tour after our Hawks convention show.
You sounded good on Sunday, Steve.
Oh, thanks for that. But Burrish and I did a game show thing.
Oh, okay.
And I thought the offers would pour in. I'm still waiting for the pour. Adam Burrish joins us now. Hey, bud.
Hey, Steve. How are you? I'm waiting for those, too.
Yeah. Didn't you think we'd get huge offers after that, tour?
Well, you know what's funny is I thought we just absolutely killed it. We get down and walk off stage. There's a lot of people there, and it was, man, that Steve Cochran is awesome. He was so great. Then I go up to Rocky Wirtz's party. I see Seabrook. I see Shaw. I see Sharp. They're like, man, how was that? Were you nervous? But it was great. And that Steve Cochran was awesome. Yeah. I said, yeah, well, how'd I do? How about me? Yeah. How'd I do? They said, well, Cochran's funny.
You know, generally speaking, when you and I are together in a room, you do get less attention. It's weird. You know, who are you kidding?
I know.
Who are you kidding?
You just killed it. I had a blast doing it. Hopefully we get invited back next year, hopefully.
But you know what? You found out because Burrish needs to be doing a talk show. He needs to be doing a talk show. He needs to be at NHL Network. He's really good. Or Comedy Central, if he prefers. But here's the thing that I think you found out that night. And, John, I've talked to you about this. We'll do a show on New Year's Eve for 1,000 people. They have a great time.
Right.
An hour and a half later, it's New Year's Eve. It's 11:30, and I have to decide whether I'm going to hit a Taco Bell drive-thru or get home in time to watch the ball drop because it's so glamorous. So we finished the show that night at the convention. And the union crew were stacking chairs before the people left. And, get out! It's over! Yep. Get out! So there was no lingering to greet the public.
No, you're right. But I had a blast, and the convention was great this year again.
Yeah,
and now we're in hockey season.
Yeah, now is this weird for you? Because, you could still play.
Well, there's no chance of that, Steve. Thank you for continuing to pump my tires. That's why I love coming on your show. But no, what's weird is how fast the summer flew by, and now we're getting a home game at the United Center, and hockey's starting again. So it's kind of cool. I hope the weather stays nice, but I am ready for hockey season, though. I know that.
Same here. We want it to be nice enough to golf, but we still want hockey. The ridiculous move the NHL made a few years ago is changing the schedule, where the Hawks and the Red Wings, one of the great rivalries in the history of the NHL, would only happen once or twice a season and in the preseason. Because how are you going to get a good Detroit Sucks chant going if you're only seeing them occasionally?
I know it. And I think the players, too, because players, you want these rivalries. You love these rivalries because you feel the energy from the crowd. You feel the fans. And I think for players in Chicago, it was a little disappointing, but you still catch them. You still get to see them in Chicago. They still come once a year. And anytime you get a lick at them in a preseason game, too, you still feel the energy from the people here in Chicago.
Tonight, you have a lineup for me?
I do. Yeah, I got a lot of great players.
Tell me who's going to play.
Tonight.
Who's going to play?
Well, let's just start off with the captain, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane. Might have heard of those two guys.
Yeah,
Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Olli Maatta, Adam Boqvist, who's going to be a guy. I think he's a defenseman. Watch number 27 tonight. He's a guy that a lot of the Blackhawks' eyes staff will be on. Is this kid going to be ready to play this year? Dominic Kubalik, number 8, a forward. He's a guy
night.
That... Yep, he's a guy that he's going to get a lot of opportunity. Here's what's cool about the preseason this year for me compared to past seasons is they've had two off years now. So if your name's not, Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane, every single guy right now is playing for playing time. They're playing to impress the staff and the coach, and this isn't like football where your studs don't play. You look at this lineup tonight, and you've got probably 60% or 70% of your NHL roster is playing in this game tonight. And that doesn't happen usually, but once you get a home game, and coaches always do this in the league, is your first couple games, you don't start your goalie right away. By the way, Corey Crawford's in there tonight too. Might have heard of him also.
Yeah.
You don't usually start your starting goalie the first game or two. You don't want them to get hurt. You want them to go through 3 or 4 days of training camp practices. Your studs, usually you save them for a home game, and once that first home game hits, boom, now it's on, and that's what you're kind of seeing. Brandon Saad's playing tonight. David Camp, Dylan Sakura, Alex Nylander is another guy that fans should keep a close eye on. Incredible skill this guy has. So this lineup, the Blackhawks are trotting out here tonight. It's a pretty, pretty deep lineup, and it should be a pretty fun one to watch. Because now, game three, training camp, now things start to kick into gear.
Yeah, and again, NHL, I know you listen every morning. Let's get an original six thing going, where all the original six play an extra game against each other. Just a little round-robin situation where all the original six teams get to see each other, because tonight's going to be a blast. It's a preseason game.
I agree, and this is, sometimes preseason, because they're doing this now and letting these teams that don't see each other a lot in the regular season play, that's, to me, sometimes preseason is when rivalries can build, because you got young guys competing for jobs, you got guys that are getting in your face. There's guys competing for their livelihood out there in preseason. And, this isn't football where your studs don't play. I keep saying that. But these guys are all competing for playing time right now, and especially on this Blackhawks team. There's some serious spots available for young guys, and you've got Olli Maatta. I'm excited to watch Olli Maatta. I think he's a guy that's going to surprise a lot of people, surprise a lot of Blackhawks fans. He's been hurt for a couple years, hasn't got to that level, but he's like 26 years old, and he's got 3 Stanley Cups. It's pretty incredible what this guy can do. So I think if you're looking for a comparison with Olli Maatta, it's Nick Jarmelson. They're the same kind of guy. So he'll be fun to watch. Dennis Gilbert's a big, towering defenseman, played at Notre Dame. He's a guy that I think this team would like to see what he can do this year. So a lot of fun storylines this year, and a lot of guys competing for jobs, and guys that you've seen on this team for a long time that are going to be competing for more ice time and not let some young guys take a couple minutes from them a night. So a lot of fun things to watch this year.
Yeah, Mark Carman's here. Mark.
Well, speaking of competition, Adam, how do you see the goaltender situation playing out? You got Crow going tonight, and Robin Leonard was in there last night, and people are wondering what's going to happen there.
Yeah, Mark, I don't know, to be honest. I don't think the coaching staff knows either. I think Corey Crawford's still the guy. They know that. But how many games is Corey Crawford going to play? How many, how often are they going to split? I think a lot of that will be determined by what we see in preseason, too. How is Corey going to go tonight? How's he going to feel tonight? How's he going to feel after the game? I still think, and I think if you ask the guys at this point, they would all tell you that Corey Crawford is one of the top two, maybe three goaltenders today in the NHL still. He's had some health issues the last couple of years, but ask other guys in the league, ask guys that don't play for the Blackhawks, and my buddies around the league that don't play for the Blackhawks say he is the most underrated goaltender in the league. And when you look at him and he gets a couple wins under his belt and you put him in a big-time playoff situation, I don't know if there's a guy better than him in the league right now.
Keep an eye on Blackhawks.com, but also WGNRadio.com for Hawks news all season. Of course, we have all the games. Before you go, the guy that you just talked to, you've known Mark Carman for a long time. He's getting married soon. You got married about a month ago. And by the way, I got a picture here of you guys at the head table at your wedding. I swear to you, look, people know Birch is a good-looking dude. You are so over your skis with your wife. This is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. She's stunning.
I put so much. I sat in the sun for about a week before that to get a good tan. I put so much hair gel in my hair, and I still couldn't keep up with her that day and night. It was pretty incredible.
She looks fabulous.
We got married 1 month ago yesterday. So do you celebrate 1 month anniversary?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
or just for a little while?
For the first year, you do every month, and then she starts to realize who she married, and she doesn't expect anything anymore.
Downhill from there from her.
But on the wedding day, do you have one singular piece of advice for Mark Carman, who's getting married in 72 days?
Just listen to her and tell her not to stress, because I think the stress, once you do that first dance thing, which I was stressing that, I got to be honest, I was not looking forward to that first dance deal that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And once that got done, all downhill from there. So just put up with it until that first dance, and then let it rip and have a good time.
Did you take dance lessons?
No, but she asked me to do it, and I said, not a chance in hell am I going to do this. So, no, I did not.
That
I
was
did
the
not
only decision Burrish made for the entire wedding planning. He wasn't going to take dance lessons.
That was the one thing I put my foot down on.
Hey, good having you on, buddy. You're always welcome here.
All right, thanks, Steve. Good luck, Mark. All right, have fun.
Thanks, Adam.
And go Hawks. I swear to you, this picture of these guys at their wedding looks like what every wedding venue uses as their promotional picture. They're both so ridiculously good looking. It just looks like it's the Hallmark card for the wedding shot.
The mountains, the whole thing.
Just ridiculous.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Idly ho, neighborinos.
We need two big pizzas, man. Everything on them.
Hi ho, neighbor.
Nobody messing in my neighborhood.
Hey, Ma! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Joining us in just a few moments for Neighborhood Eats, G, will be who?
We will have Andy Lim and Thomas O. They are the executive chef and general manager, both partners of a restaurant called Perilla. It's called, it's actually in the neighborhood called Fulton River Park, but it's right by the Blommers Chocolate Factory, right there on Kinsey,
so
Milwaukee.
Good.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
It's on that corner.
And also Richard Caranda, Aaron Shepley, Miriam Napanelli. Napanelli from the Rouse Center. And the
Napanelli.
In the PPG Green. What? The PPG Paints Green Room. All right. So since we have a minute before those folks arrive, Carms, I have a last few things you need from the wedding list.
I can't wait, Steve. What do we got?
All right. Now it's going down to the final week, but you can do any of these things ahead, and I find some of these perfect for you. You need to refresh your hair color.
Are you saying I'm in 100%? Are you saying that I need to dye my hair, Steve? Is that what I just heard?
I'm just going off the list, dude. You need to get your eyebrows done.
Okay, that's not on the list.
Manicure, pedicure.
I do a mani pedi.
How about a massage?
I would love a massage.
Why don't you do a couples massage? Have you done that?
She hates getting a couples massage with me, Steve, because I tend to moan in massages.
Oh, no.
Wow, that's creepy. That seems
Understand people who don't moan when they're getting rubbed. But, it just feels so good.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Wait. Like you're eating something delicious type of moan, or like other kind
he's
of
having
moan?
Sex.
No, it's not a sexual. See, it's not. I don't get it. It's not a sexual moan. I'm laying there. You're rubbing me. It feels good. I want to express.
All right, pick me.
Oh, no.
Go ahead, pick me.
But it,
go
she,
ahead, pick
she,
me.
She gets distracted.
It's a stranger. It's a stranger
so
rubbing
what?
You.
I don't care.
There's another person rubbing you, and you're moaning that you enjoy it while your fiance is next to you.
Right, so she's like, she literally had them shut the door on me and say, "I cannot handle."
But if you're doing a couple's massage, normally it's tables that are like in the same room.
Yep.
But it's a little weird if you look over and she's getting rubbed by some big dude, and you're getting rubbed by, you know, his girlfriend at work.
We were in adjacent rooms, and there was a door that could be.
That's
shut.
That's not a couple's massage.
You could see her. I mean, she was right over there, Steve. It was a couple's massage, but I got.
Did you ask in the middle, could I wear less for this?
I mean, if I'm getting a massage, Steve, there's no clothing. Come on, let's slow
down. What?
What?
No, I'm just
who wears
kidding.
Clothes to a massage?
Hold on a second. You're naked massage?
Yes.
Well, I've never been to a place where that was okay.
Are you? What?
Never.
I mean, they do say that it's, but you usually you can leave your undergarments on.
I usually get mine done at a BP.
I need my glutes attended to, Steve.
The full service.
You want a butt rub?
Yes. It's the best part. Are you kidding?
How about, I sure hope you're a big tipper.
I do. Yeah, I am a good tipper.
I don't mean 10%, 15%. I mean like
90%. No, I don't. Listen, I back in like my 20s, I would wear my underwear, and then she's like, "Hey, I will respect your decency. Take those off, you wimp." And then I've matured.
Yeah, you're confident.
Wait a minute, who
you're
told
confident.
You to take your underwear off?
But whatever massage therapist
they
I was seeing in my 20s.
They do
no,
tell
I've,
you.
I've had a massage. I've had many massage.
Can we go on
I've
to the
never
next thing
had,
on the list?
No, we can't. I've never had a masseuse that went, "Hey, you should really take off your captain underpants."
Well, I used to go to this one place like regularly, and so she was
that's the place where the owner of the Patriots went, right?
Right, exactly. Me and Robert Kraft were going to the same spot. That's true.
Yeah. Well, they must have different rules at BP.
Yeah, right. Can we, all right,
now I'm uncomfortable. Right. Move along. Who mentioned moaning in the massage around here?
I think it might have been you. Now, Chelsea's actually up at this point.
Oh, no, there's a great chance. She's listening now.
Yeah, so I think there's a pretty good chance you just were scheduled for another fight.
She's just nodding her head. This is all true.
All right, at 9:17, a classy change in the show comes up in just a second. We come back with Neighborhood Eats. Nobody knows from neighborhood food.
Oh,
because it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Super Joe, what a nice
open. You didn't miss a trip. All right, so where'd you go this week?
I went to Perilla, Korean American Fair. You know what? I started off my article in the Sun Times by saying that I dread being asked where I go for Korean food because I go to different places for Korean food, and I'm always terrified that once I recommend a place, you know, that place has got to represent all of Korean food.
So you're concerned that people are going to go, how does the Korean not know Korean food?
Well, not only that, but it's like, you know, I go to different spots. Some of them are mom and pop. Some of them maybe aren't up to what people want in terms of, you know.
Well, but isn't that the problem with food in general? It's subjective.
I know, but then I found one spot that I know that you can go and get your traditional Korean barbecue, and you can also get some modern, contemporary, like finer
fare as
well.
It looks like a fabulous place.
Yes.
And it's called?
Perilla.
And the guest is?
And our guest we have here right now is Andy Lim. He's the executive chef.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Andy.
Andy, thanks for coming over here. I know this is the beginning of another long day in the restaurant business, but the place looks fantastic. How long have you been open?
Thank you. We opened officially July 19th of this year.
Oh, this year?
Yes.
So it's brand new.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's not even 2 months.
Mm-hmm. And where were you chefing prior to this?
Prior to this, I was working for the Boca Restaurant Group over at Swift & Sons in Cold Storage.
Well, that's a group that you know is going to be around. This is a big deal to get into your own thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Leap of faith.
It was.
And the cool thing about this spot is that you're going to get to go there. You can barbecue your own meat if you want. You can do the traditional thing.
Explain how that works.
Well, I'm going to let the... You know what? Actually, Thomas O just joined us. He's
hey,
the
Thomas,
general manager.
Hey, good morning.
Nice to see you, man.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about grilling your own meats?
So the guests can come in and experience it in a number of different ways. We do both marinated and non-marinated options, which are really great. You get everything from USDA prime cut steaks to some very traditional Korean cuts that we do. That's quite common. And then you get to enjoy it with all of these different accompaniments that we put called panchan on the table.
So, again, it would go back to Andy in this case. If people are cooking their own food at the table, what's Andy doing? He's in the back watching Friends?
There are some very refined vegetable dishes, some soups, some other items you want to talk about?
We kind of try to have a variety of options kind of for everybody. We have our vegetarian options. We definitely have our meat lovers options mostly. But we definitely want to celebrate the vegetables.
Well, because most of us, and by us I mean everybody that's not Korean, goes, well, it's barbecue and kimchi. That's the whole menu.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for understanding our plight.
Right. So people need to understand there's much more than that.
There is much more. I think Korean barbecue is what's popular for the common folks. But Korean is actually a very vegetable-focused cuisine.
And a lot of seafood, too. I'm terrified to recommend a spot because sometimes if I send you to a mom-and-pop shop, they might not be that... It's not always about hospitality. It's usually some angry grandmas in there slinging food at you.
That's exactly what I want for the record over here.
And
Thomas, did you hire an angry grandma to give it authentic feel?
We're still keeping that position open.
But, you know, here they really are focused on hospitality. It's modern. It's hip. But it's not so trendy that you're going to not feel welcome. So there's a little bit of everything for the older crowd, the younger crowd. If you're looking for something super traditional or whether you're looking for something that's new and modern, like they have this amazing asparagus base on a onion. I know that John, you thought this looked good.
There were two things because I do like Korea and Chris Bulgogi. Am I saying that right? Bulgogi? Am I saying that right? Okay, which is okay. But there are two dishes that I absolutely love, and I don't know if they're seasonal. But one is pumpkin porridge or something like that? Mm-hmm. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's actually a Korean children's book. Pumpkin porridge.
But I love that. I don't know. I don't know the name of it. Ox tail, ox bone soup,
yes,
or something. Oh my lord!
That's one of our.
Those are. I will go just for that. Yeah. So yeah. You know.
Yeah.
My mom actually makes that for us every time she visits.
Okay.
Oxtail soup.
Yeah. So when is she visiting? When should I come over? Or?
In October.
Okay.
I'll make sure to have some food.
Good.
So Thomas, tell me how the restaurant came together.
So Andy and I actually were childhood friends growing up on.
Well, it's
in
a
North
great
Chicago.
Way to screw this up, dude. So we're in business together.
We worked across the town from each other. I was kind of primarily in River North. Andy had spent a lot of time up in Bucktown and then West Loop, Fulton Market. I think it's always just been a dream of ours to kind of come together and work and do a restaurant together. And nonetheless, I think we've always kind of joked about doing a Korean restaurant.
Sure.
You know? And I think
no one will see that coming.
Right. The stars were just aligned for us and to have take this opportunity. And I think it's a very special thing that we're being given a chance to do, which is really share, I think, a lot about not only just the food, but through culture. And I think you share culture through a plate of food sometimes. As G was mentioning, I think the experience is unlike most dining experiences. Both of us pretty well versed in a lot of the restaurant scene.
Sure.
But the whole table, the experience itself, really, like, everything is gravitated towards the table. There's an experience, especially when you're given the opportunity to, let's say, cook food for your own friends and family on the table.
Sure.
I see it in our restaurant, this different kind of enjoyment that I think guests get when they get to share something that's like constantly pulling their attention to the center of the table. They're really enjoying the food. There's so many new experiences, not only just for let's say like Western diners, but even like the Koreans that are coming here from Seoul, like they're coming in and seeing that this is a little bit different than what they're normally accustomed to.
How do you separate yourself? Because, you know, if you go with the generic picture of what Koreatown's supposed to be, the restaurants are spread out all over the place.
Right.
It's not like Little Italy. So how do you guys separate yourself and, you know, create a brand?
And I'm just going to add, piggyback, talk about how you guys, this is a big deal for you to be close to downtown. You didn't want to be in the suburbs and on the outskirts.
Yeah.
Right. I think one thing growing up here in Chicago, our first generation parents kind of set Koreatown on Lawrence Avenue many, many years ago. And just through, you know, just through change in time, we've noticed that the community's really spread out from west suburbs all the way
to O'Hare.
Yeah, and North Shore, in Glenview, which is a really popular area. And I think one real focus that both Chef and I have is to try and reestablish Koreatown and this community, and try and bring everything back together within Chicago proper and inside the city limits, but more so even than the downtown area, where I think not just as a Korean American restaurant, but any independent small business restaurant owners. Find it a challenge to find success down here with real estate prices. And
it's a gutsy move. Yeah. I salute both of you.
And it's about being American, because they're both born and raised here.
Right.
They're 100% American. It's just that...
I think that's something that a lot of people have connected. We've connected with a lot of people through. It's kind of not ever being represented enough. And looking Korean and us being assumed that we don't really speak English, and then people giving us oh my god, your accent is
you sound like you're from Chicago.
Yeah, it sounds like you're from Chicago. That's crazy. So I think this place gives us kind of a place to be proud of, a place to share with
That's great. Yeah. No, it's great. Yeah. Now, when is the video and the piece up for the Suntimes?
It is up right now on suntimes.com, and it'll also be shared by us as well, WGN Radio. And the wonderful thing is that they have really awesome state-of-the-art grills in the middle of the table, so it's very well ventilated, so you're not going to smell like the food you leave.
That's a cool idea.
It's a really cool system. I think a lot of people, I'm glad she touched on it, is they're coming in even before a Friday or Saturday night, before they go out to a theater, and they're noticing how clean the place smells. Unlike your traditional Korean barbecue, the ventilation gets sucked down into the table. It's a really cool system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just an amazing...
You guys didn't miss a trick.
No.
Thought of everything. The funny thing, though, about cooking at the table is, I assume it goes this way, is there usually one person at the table who tries to dominate?
There's always someone driving the bus.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
always.
Someone else would like to, but you don't cross. Well, angry grandma, I guess is what you would call her.
Right. But we're always happy to help. The staff is amazing over there.
Yeah, the staff will cook it for you, too, at the table.
They're happy to guide you through the experience, so it's quite something else.
Well, congrats on the success.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And the restaurant's located at 401 North Milwaukee Avenue. The website's ParillaChicago.com. It's right there across from the Blommers Chocolate Factory. Just lead with your nose, let your nose take you there.
You guys got a partnership where you can walk across the street, you got a key, you open the chocolate factory, have a little dessert.
We're working towards
good. And the website one more time?
It is ParillaChicago.com. ParillaChicago.com.
Thanks for coming over.
Thank you
so much for having us.
9:31, news next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 9:42. The Steve Cochran Comedy Tour continues. We'll tell you about our New Year's Eve show in just a second. Also play Fact or Fiction one more time. If you want to get on hold, we'll get to that before the end of the show. 312-981-7200. That's the number. Jen, you want to introduce our next guest?
This is great. Of course, from the marketing director from The Row, Miriam Nepinelli.
Yes.
We got that.
We like Miriam a lot.
Yes,
there's been people in that job who didn't like me.
Well,
but Miriam
seems
to like me.
She loves you.
I adore you.
See, Miriam gets it.
I guess I'll market your show.
That's right, yes. And then, of course, a very special guest, the mayor of Crystal Lake, Mr. Aaron Shepley.
Mr. Mayor, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Any,
thanks for having me.
Any scandals or controversies you'd like to admit to now since you're in politics?
I prefer to say that I'm not in politics.
And joining us on the phone is the boss, Richard Caranda. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Thank you all for having us.
What a shock. You're on the phone.
Richard has problems getting here. Richard. You need to leave Crystal Lake sometime before 10 minutes prior to the interview to get to the city.
I left at 7, and the traffic updates were dead on. I just got bad luck. I'm sorry.
7? Are you taking a horse? Anyway, it's a pleasure to be going back to the Rao Center. John, explain.
We are going back. We haven't been there for about 3 years, but we are going back for our New Year's Eve, a 1 o'clock show on New Year's Eve. You, me, Mike Toomey, Tim Banker. We cannot wait. It'll be a lot of fun for those who can't even stay up till 3.
This is the perfect opportunity. Go out in the afternoon, and now you got options.
Because now you can go out at night if you want. You can stay home if you want. Say, I went out on New Year's Eve. You're not lying.
No.
So you can do it. And we'll, you know, and we're going to be fresh.
That's right.
The 1 o'clock.
Very much. And keep in mind, we just talked about this, but you have a restaurant. Downtown Crystal Lake is really pretty neat.
It is great. Mm-hmm.
It's a great. The theater itself is absolutely gorgeous. If you have, but that is one of. But you have, would you say, the restaurant 1776 and mm-hmm. the other one that you.
Dabafoni.
Yeah, which I have been to. I've actually been to that one. So they're phenomenal great. Places to eat. Mm-hmm. So,
Benedict's you know. Lestrada, mm-hmm. right next to
Oh, that's right. Yes.
To the
yes.
theater.
Yes.
But I salute you, Mr. Mayor, because Crystal Lake's beautiful. And I don't know what your regular. Their job is, because clearly this isn't paying enough.
That's know, very true.
Yes. You do a great job with the city, you and your people, as does Mr. Caranda. I mean, there's no better theater in the Midwest than the Row.
Yeah, we love it.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks. And you know, I wanted to bring Aaron into focus because, Steve, I don't know if you know this or not, but a lot of the proceeds, you know, we're a nonprofit. A lot of the money that we generate with your show goes back into the community. And one of those great events is a youth drumline called the Strikers. And Mayor Shepley was great enough to get behind supporting the Row about, 14, 15 years ago, if not longer. And they raised a hell of a lot of money with us for kids and scholarship for music. So if a kid wants to go off, and I'll let Aaron talk about it, but
I love
really
a great drum line.
Huge impact.
I love a great drum yeah. line. What do we need to know?
Yeah, the Crystal Lake Strikers has been around since 2007. We started shortly after that with the Evening of Percussion every year at the Row. Routinely, we sell it out. There's a waiting list to get tickets for the show.
Is this like Crystal Lake Stomp, that kind of feel?
Well, no, it's actually a legitimate drum line.
Yeah.
bass drums, snare drums, you know, okay. the whole affair. And in fact, members of the Strikers just performed with Kanye at his...
Sunday service?
Yep.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. It was a great thing.
That's kind of cool.
Were you with Kanye? Let me rephrase that. Were you at Kanye's service?
I actually was at my own parish in Arlington Heights, so I had to miss that service.
How great would it be if you're at your own parish and Kanye and the drumline come in and just start playing?
Shake things up a little bit,
right?
That's for sure.
Come on. Richard, what else is happening at the Row?
Yeah, so we've got Adam's Family, which is opening in a week or so. We've got some great comics like Billy Gardell and Paula Poundstone and
Love
Rita
Billy.
Rudner. And then, of course, you guys. Oh, yeah, really an incredible talent.
That's good, dude.
And we've got a great fundraiser coming up. We've got a Halloween bash. It's a spooktacular event, and Miriam can talk about that.
Yes. Thank you so much, Richard.
Miriam can actually talk about all of them.
Why did you make that face, Miriam?
I should have been more prepared to have it thrown to me. No, this is our third annual Halloween bash. And last year, we discovered this amazing group from Milwaukee. And they're called the Dead Man's Carnival. And they're like a vaudevillian style band. And they bring like aerial acts and people like magicians and
all Halloween themed.
Yes, yes. They're a really neat group. So they'll be back again with us on October 26th. So we're really excited for that.
And if you know where Richard Caranda lives in Crystal Lake, he gives out the big candy bars.
Yes.
The giant ones.
Because only six kids
he doesn't
come
give
by
them out.
His house.
He doesn't give them out on Halloween, though. It's 2 days after.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's not bad. Richard, it's always a pleasure. We look forward to seeing you. John, when is that show we're doing?
That show we are doing is on the 31st. Was it the 30th? The 31st. We went through this because you threw me off this day. You did this to me.
When is New Year's Eve?
Thank God Miriam is here. That's all I have to say.
The 31st.
New Year's Eve. You just had another comedian inhabit your body.
I know. Well, we talked about this morning on the way in.
New Year's Eve is the 31st.
Yes, that's right. So 31st at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the
Row. He's the producer and the promoter. Yeah. How scared am I now?
Okay, God.
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
How do we get tickets?
You can go to rowcenter.org.
Rowcenter.org, okay. Yes. Or call the box office if you want to talk to someone. 815-356-9212.
And you could order on the 30th if there's any seats left, but the show itself is the 31st.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I knew it.
Mr. Mayor, any last promotion for your fine city?
Yeah, I mean, actually, promotion for the Crystal Lake Strikers. So this group has grown. We serve over 100 kids. We just formed a new arm arm of the group called the Kingpins that works with kids from NISRA, special needs children, drumline just for them. They marched in our parade. And what we're looking for is a home. We have been in the same space for all these years, and now it's time for us to move on. And we're having some difficulty finding a home. We're looking for like vacant warehouse space. We need about 10,000 square feet of open space. And if any of your listeners out there know a good place for us to land, we'd love to be in McHenry County. And
sure.
We want to keep the dream going.
You got an email you want to throw?
www.clstrikers.com.
Okay. clstrikers.com. All right. Excellent.
You got it.
Nice job by you.
Thank you.
You weren't bad either.
Thanks.
Richard, thanks.
She's awesome.
Website
thank you
for,
all. Thank
website
you.
Again for you guys?
RouseCenter.org.
It's great seeing you.
Good seeing you, too.
And you as well.
Thank you, Steve.
And it would have been great seeing Richard Caranda if, in fact, he hadn't left on his horse at 7.
I told him to leave at 5:45, just so we're clear.
Mr. Mayor, I have no doubts. None whatsoever. And I'm endorsing you for the White House, so I hope you don't mind.
Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We'll do a fact or fiction with Bill and Wendy. You need to call, and we'll put you on hold for a couple minutes at 312-981-7200. And then we'll play our game. I'm still looking at this list for you, Mark Carmen, as you steamroll towards your wedding, which is 72 days away?
73
days away. During the final week, but again, you can get ahead on this, a couple things you need to consider doing. Clean your ring. I hadn't thought about that. You need to clean your ring.
You know what I felt bad about over the weekend, Steve? Hampo handed me his Hall of Fame ring.
Mm-hmm. And I weighs like, about 6 pounds.
Yeah, and I had like chicken all over my hands, and I didn't know what to do. Like, and I just kind of started touching the ring, and I've got, and they're like,
"Do you think he even noticed?"
You need to clean Hamp's ring.
I need to clean Hamp's ring. Continue. What else do I need to do?
Chase any RSVP stragglers down to deliver the final headcount. This is how you know who your real friends are. If you're chasing the folks in the final week before the wedding.
Well, I'm just hoping that we'll have the invitations out by then. So,
and this is the one you're going to have the biggest problem with. Clear your work to-do list and focus on the day.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
Northwestern Illinois that is that day.
You're going to actually... He's going to be in the middle of the service checking his phone for scores.
You know. Better not be.
I mean... I don't know who's playing that day, but other than the Cats. But things might be going on, Steve. You got to stay on top of it.
Well, it's going to be great. And Chelsea, as far as you know, will show up
at this point.
She looked stunning in the photographs from your shower, by the way.
Thanks, G.
You're a lucky man.
I'll tell her you said that.
Yeah, and she's a lucky gal, too. So.
Oh, thanks.
So can listeners see those pictures somewhere?
We could give out her Facebook page.
Gotta be friends with her on Facebook.
Be friends with her on Facebook?
I shared them. I friend everybody.
Okay.
I need friends.
957. If you want to play fact or fiction, 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy in a moment, and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Ryan, too, coming up.
Fact or fiction, fact or fiction. The simple thing shall cause a mass addiction. The cause will write the fake one. Make your choice, and then the game's done.
I know. Are we back? We're back? I don't know if we're back. Let's go to Jim in Bensonville. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thank you for listening.
Hey, Jim lives in my town.
Yeah. Well, you want to give your address out?
Sure. Jim, come by? Jim, there's a newspaper in my driveway. Could you go get it?
Yeah, pick it up.
Thanks. I already did. Sweet. I'll take care of it.
Thank you, Jim. Good move. Fact or fiction, go.
Here you go. Jim, the King of Hearts is the only king that does not have a mustache.
But you paused. If you paused, you must be making it up as
fiction.
King of Hearts is the only king that doesn't have a mustache.
That's fiction.
Can I go with I don't care? Oh, that's right. I'm not playing. Fact or fiction?
Falsehood.
I'm saying fact.
I think it's a fact.
False. A lot of kings don't have mustaches.
I say fact.
Fact?
It's a fact.
Yeah, Jim.
It's the only one that does not have a mustache.
Did Jim get it right? I forgot his
Jim
answer.
Jim did not get it right, but that's okay.
You know what, Jim? Since it's the end of the show, yes. you win anyway.
And he got my newspaper for me.
Jim, I'm going to give you a Lou Malnati's pizza from loumalnati's.com and also an app gift card from abtapp.com.
Yay, Jim!
Awesome. Thank you.
Anytime you want to suck at a contest, call in, Jim. Thanks for being on. I appreciate it. Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Hello, Steve.
Morning.
How are you guys?
Fantastico.
I'm jealous of you again. This makes twice.
Well, aside from my physical appearance, what else are you jealous about?
You just told Mark Harmon and I something about yourself. Mark and I are huge tennis fans, and then you just casually said that it looks like you're going to Wimbledon next year.
I have an opportunity to go to Wimbledon
for
the Final Four.
I'm so jealous.
The semifinals and the finals.
I, too, am a tennis fan, just
are
FYI.
Are you also, Gene?
Yes, I am.
You can't bring Mark, Gene, and myself with you?
You got 6-7 months to suck up. I'd start soon.
You Steve, smell nice today, by the way.
No, it's 9 months.
This is a side note. You smell like juniper.
Juniper. He smells like gin.
I'd say June nipper was your prom date. So, what are you doing there?
Well, last night on the WGN special,
which was so great.
There was a time where somebody in the audience said, has there ever been a time that you thought you were going to get fired? And Pat Tomasulo's eyes got really big, and he started to tell a story, and they go, no, you can't tell that story.
They stopped him.
And then he said, no, I'm going to tell it. And then he started again, and they go, you cannot tell that story. He will be on with us today, and he will tell that story.
Do you guys know the story?
No.
Nope. No, I don't know it either.
Nope.
I meant to ask you because I was wondering, too.
Yeah.
Well, I've known a little bit about Tomasulo personally. It could be many, many things.
Could be a lot of things.
And Jim from Bensonville hung up before we could get your information. So call back so we can make you a winner there. And here is Wendy.